Scripture reading. Begin reading with verse 32. But call to remembrance the former days, in which, after ye were illuminated, ye endured a great fat of affliction, partly while ye were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly while ye became companions of them that were so used. For ye had compassion of me and my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that, after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. And I really like that. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. The Apostle Paul is writing here, and I'd ask you to turn to the book of Acts chapter 14 for our text and our subject. The Apostle Paul is writing here to the Hebrew Christians, to a group of Christians who have become discouraged. It's obvious from this letter that they have become discouraged, and he's encouraging them. He's reminding them of how that they had in the past, how that they had endured a great fight of affliction, how that they had been reproached, how that they had been made a spectacle unto the world, how that they had given up all that they had for the cause of Christ. For them to name Christ as their Savior was to be disfranchised and be relinquished of ownership of the things that they had. He reminded them of how it had been in the beginning. And so you and I oftentimes need to be reminded of how that it has been, and see that God did deliver us then, and that He will again. Oftentimes in my own life, it's those things that, as I look back, that weren't very big that discouraged me the most. But in the midst of those things, I can remember that God hath seen me through all the things thus far, and yet a little while, he that shall come will come, then I'm encouraged. Tonight I want to speak to you, if the Lord would be pleased to help me, on the subject of through much tribulation we enter the kingdom. From the book of Acts chapter 14, begin reading with verse 19. And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. And when they had preached the gospel to that city, and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra, and to Iconium, and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples, and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. And when they had ordained them elders in every church, and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. Let us bow together in a word of prayer. And Heavenly Fathers, we bow in your presence this evening. We acknowledge our need of thy help. Pray, Lord, if it could please you, that you would give us unction of the Holy One. Lord, that may be a blessing to these who have come and magnify thy wonderful name. I pray, Lord, you may forgive me where that I failed you, where that I've sinned. Lord, you might use me tonight for your honor and for your glory. I pray, Father, that you may remove from my mind any other desires and any other motives. Father, we do confess that we do. Lord, we do like to present you in a manner that would cause folk to trust you and to rely upon you. But Father, we recognize tonight that we do not have that ability. We ask you if it could please you to use the message, Lord, to encourage, to strengthen each of us in your cause. I pray, Father, the Holy Spirit would be pleased. He'd be pleased to help us tonight. For it's in the name of Jesus that I pray, and for his sake I do ask it. Amen. So from verse 22 of Acts chapter 14, it said, through much tribulation, we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. Now God has never promised his own smooth sailing in this world. He's not promised us smooth sailing, but we remember that he that shall come will come. He's promised us a safe landing. And I'm glad of that tonight. That is already settled. That's already been secured. Now deliverance has already been provided through the Lord Jesus Christ. But he hasn't promised that it would be smooth. He has ordained that through much tribulation we enter the kingdom. We must remember that we are in a place and territory of sin, with God's curse upon it. Within and without, there is sin. So why then should we think it strange to taste some of the bitterness of this world? It's because of sin. If it were otherwise, what would the effect be upon us? If we were free from sorrows, from suffering, from tribulation, from separation, we might would be content to stay here. Then the book of Hebrews chapter 11, looking at verse 14, now looking at verse 11, it said, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And so as we journey through this life, it has, God has promised it to us, it's been ordained of God, that there will be tribulation, there will be sorrow, there will be difficulties. But as we embrace the promises of God, and in the midst of those tribulations, do as Job did, worship him. Amen. Whatever it is, say, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away, blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Whatever it is that he's given, it's of God. Whatever it is that he takes, it's of God. It's God's. So blessed be the name of the Lord. Whatever joy that you and I experience, whatever peace that you and I have in our work for the Lord Jesus Christ, whatever things that God has given us, it has been a gift of him, and has been because of his grace. It has been an unmerited blessing. And so when God chooses to put us through tribulation, we recognize that God, first of all, has given us that we had, not because that we deserved it, but because of his grace. And then the reason that God puts us through tribulation is not because that he doesn't love us, but he has ordained tribulation to constantly remind us that this is not our rest. This is not our eternal home. And without tribulation, we would have little or no desire to depart and be with Christ. Is it true in your own life that as the clouds begin to hang heavy and the trials come and the tribulation come and the separations come, do you get a greater longing to go home and be with the Lord? Do you have a greater ability to say and a greater urge in your heart to say, even so, come, Lord Jesus? The Apostle Paul tells us in the book of Philippians. He talks to us about that. He said in the book of Philippians, he said, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor, yet what I shall choose I want or know not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. The Apostle Paul had experienced tremendous tribulation. He had experienced tremendous hardship. He had experienced tremendous trials. But he had patiently and with patience and in faith embraced the promises of God. And he recognized that he was a stranger and a pilgrim. He was thankful that this was not his home. Because of all that, he knew that to depart was far better. God has ordained that through much tribulation we enter the kingdom. But here's something else that he said. But for me to abide is needful for you. Sometimes, the trials come and the heartaches come and the difficulties arise. And folks say, Lord, why don't you just carry home? But it's needful. God has a use for us. And it's needful, not for ourselves, but that we may be used to strengthen others. As they see us being able, by the grace of God, to lean upon His promises and embrace His promises, and to be comforted by Him, and through the comfort that He comforts us, we also are able to comfort others with that same comfort that we've received. So it's needful for us. Needful for us to remain. But it's through much tribulation that we enter the kingdom. That's what they told these disciples. They remained there and they taught them the Word of God and said it must be through much tribulation that we enter the kingdom. Now wouldn't it be sad in view of that to live in this life without any tribulation? It depends on our perspective, see. It depends on whether or not that we look at it from God's point of view. And if the Bible says that we must, through much tribulation, enter the kingdom, then we can gladly rejoice in tribulation as the Apostle Paul did. See, Paul knew that. And that's why he could say, even in tribulation, I rejoice because it's the will of God concerning us. And it's God working on us and working in us to accomplish that. And His purpose for our lives. The word tribulation comes from a Latin word, tribulum, which was a frail that was used to separate the chaff from the wheat. And in our own life, isn't there much chaff that only tribulation can remove? Much carnal understanding, much fleshly wisdom, many fleshly plans and desires that only God with the frail, with the tribulum can remove. Lord, don't we want it removed? Don't we want Him to sift out the chaff? Don't we want patience that we might with patience wait upon Him and wait upon the promises? And we can only get that through tribulation. Tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope that maketh not ashamed. And so if we want to take boldness in the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, we must experience these things. Because it's through tribulation. Tribulation worketh patience, patience experience, and experience hope that maketh not ashamed. Have you ever noticed the folks who have gone through the fires and experienced the deepest trials and tribulations. They are the most ready to magnify and to acknowledge the Lord Jesus Christ and to tell others what Christ can do for you. Why? Because He has worked in us. He calls us to know what He can do. Makes us not ashamed of Him, because after all, when you go through the tribulation, when He's all that you've got, and you find out that He's all that you need, then you joyfully tell folks about Him. I was saved when I was about 13 years old, when I was 13 years old. And there were times that I didn't speak what I ought to have, and was a little bit embarrassed about being saved, about, you know, the Lord Jesus. And I'm ashamed of that. And I'm sorry for that. It shouldn't have been. But through the course of my life, as God, even though I was that way, I read something in the Psalms that helped me. He said, He knew my frame. He knew I was nothing but dust. That's why He was merciful and compassionate upon me. But then through the course of my life, He began to put me through the fire. He began to bring trials. And then He began to bring tribulation. And then He brought it to where that He was all. And I found Him enough. I found Him sufficient. We have a song that we sing at church that He is all I need. And I tell you, friends, you will never learn that except through the fire of tribulation. The Apostle Paul learned it through that. When at the first, no man stood with him. But Christ never forsook him. He wrote us those words that He had said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, that you may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. Through much tribulation, we enter the kingdom. So it's through the trials and tribulations, that He removes the dross from the pure gold. It's by that fire of tribulation, weaning us from the world. He fits us to set our affections on things above. It is the drying up of the fountains of satisfaction. It's through that He makes us thirst for the living waters. I tell you, when that God, through His tribulation, removes all health and removes all pride and removes all confidence in the flesh, and you're forced to cast yourself upon Him, it is a shame. But as long as we're in this flesh will be a problem for us. And even though we learn the lessons, it's with me that I have to learn them again and again and again and again. I wish I could stay learned, stay taught. Correct me, sir. I wish I could. But I'm thankful as I look at the Word of God. I used to wonder and I used to cry out to the Lord, Lord, why? Now I thank Him for it. Since I see what He's doing, since I see that He has divine purpose in it, I know that He loves me. That He is not doing anything because that He's mad at me. Because that His love has listened for me. Because He set His love upon me and gave His Son for me while I was yet a sinner. He did it even before I was conceived, even before the foundation of the world. But while I was yet an enemy to Him, why, not only was undeserving of His love, but did not want His love and would resist His love. He loved me. Gave His Son for me. Oh, what manner of love the Father had that we should be called the sons of God. As I began to see that His love is not conditioned upon my behavior. And as the tribulations come, and I recognize that it is not because God has an ill temper toward me, but that He is working in me His purpose of grace for my life, and I see that it's through much tribulation we must enter the kingdom. And I begin to get a different view of it. I say, Lord, and I began to ask Him, now, Lord, what would You have me learn? Or what could I learn that I might be a blessing to others when this comes to them? And that's my desire. I need grace for my own life, and I want to be a blessing to others. And I might comfort them with the same comfort wherewith I was comforted. Tribulation tells us, the Bible tells us, tribulation in Romans chapter 5. I want us to read that. I've already mentioned it, but there's something I want us to see. When he said that tribulation works with patience. I want you to notice the first verse. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Now, that's wonderful, isn't it? I mean, we're justified by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That faith that we have, it's a gift of God. That's wonderful, the justification that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, it's accounted to us as if we had never sinned when we're justified. The righteousness of Christ is imputed to us, and we stand before God as if we had never sinned. He gives us that wonderful truth. And then he says, we all also have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. That's a wonderful truth. But that's not the only wonderful truth, and not only so. I mean, he lays this truth alongside the wonderful truth of our justification through the works of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so you see, tribulation begins to not look so bad. It's hard on the flesh. It's difficult for us until we begin to see that it's God's work in our life, and it's for our good and for His glory. Not only so, I mean, we're justified, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, there's another wonderful thing. We rejoice. We glory in tribulations also. Glory in tribulation. Now I confess to you, there's been time in my life when I'd read that, and I'd wonder how I did. I mean, I believe that the writer did. And I knew that I had the same God. He told me here that I had access by faith into the same grace. But I still say, God, I don't understand. I've done the best I know. You ever done that? But I've done the best I know, and I don't understand. But what he says is that we have access by faith into this grace when we stand. And this, one of these graces is to be able to glory in tribulations. And what I've learned is faith coming by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And a growing grace is I learn more of the Word of God, and I hear the Word of God. The Holy Spirit calling me to hear the Word of God, and I see what God is doing for me in the tribulation. Then I rejoice in that tribulation. Then I don't feel so bad about the state that I was in, because I tell you, I wasn't born full grown. Some folks seem to be. But I wasn't. I mean, if salvation hadn't been by grace, and the keeping of me hadn't been by grace, I wouldn't have made it. I still wouldn't. I recognize that. But I mean, I couldn't. I wonder. Because I'd look at these things and I'd say, what? Why me? And I was afraid, I'd even know of other folks he really ought to got after, if they hadn't done as well as I tried to do. That's awful. If I was immature. Still feel that way sometimes, but I know better as soon as I do. See, what happened is I began to see this. I began to see that God had a purpose for my life. And I began to understand that the tribulation was an evidence of God acknowledging me as His, and He had something for me, and He was working that in me, and it was necessary to bring me to the place where I wanted to be. There was that in me that wanted to be what I ought to be, and wanted to grow, and wanted to be a blessing, and wanted to be useful, and wanted to magnify the grace of God, and wanted to love Him more. I wanted that. The Holy Spirit within us wants that. Doesn't matter how young you are. You want that. But when I began to see that what he was doing was necessary to accomplish the very thing that I wanted, then I began to see it differently, and I began to glory and to rejoice in that also, because it was an evidence that God had His hand on me. That makes all the difference in the world. It wasn't a battle you were fighting. It was the work of God in our lives. It wasn't that God was letting things pick on us, but it was God actively intervening to bring them to pass for our good and for His glory. And I believe every person that's saved, Spirit in them wants to glorify God, wants to grow. I believe that. You know, and you look back and say, I wanted that, but I was disagreeing with everything that was bringing to pass. And I learned that through much tribulation, enter the kingdom. So God does care about us. Well, you look at it with your own children. And you give them much tribulation to get them to where they need to be, don't you? They don't understand you. They don't want it. They'll try to reason with you about it, or rebel against it, or argue with you about it. But you know from the Word of God that that's what will bring them to the place that they need to be if they'll ever be able to live in this world, much less be worth anything. They don't understand it. And we don't either. But when we do begin to see that, it changes the whole view of the thing. See, it's only by patience that we inherit the promises of God. Hebrews chapter 10. Convert my Bible, this one's pretty torn up. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. See, we lose much joy by not remembering the past deliverances of God and patiently trust Him to supply every need according to His riches. You look back in your life, you've lived very long. If you live very much longer, you'll even be able to look back and remember more and look at the things that you were up against that seemed almost impossible. Yet God delivered you and handled it. You see now that it was helpful to you. Do you know that's the way it is about what it is right now? What it may be tomorrow? That's the way when you come through that. God will be there. And you look back and you'll see God was there. And it was helpful to me. I grew. And I now be able to help others. After all, that's what it's all about. Want to serve the Lord Jesus Christ? How do we do that? We do that by serving others. Want to be a blessing to the Lord Jesus Christ? That's a scriptural term. Bless His name. We do that being a blessing to others. Do you know what? I have people in our church. We have sometimes folks who will have a difficulty financially, kind of have it kind of hard. And I have folks there who can tell you they have never known what it was. And, you know, they'll help them. But I have folks who have been there. And I'll tell you, they can just help them and keep on helping. You know why? They can identify with their needs. Whatever it is, I just use that. But you cannot identify until you've been there. You cannot know how to feel how they feel until you have been there. And we cannot help them until we do. And oftentimes, we look back and find that I was more useful because of the tribulation than I ever could have been without it, because I just wouldn't have understood. See, it was through Simon's tribulation that he learned to trust Christ more. And I'm not going to read those scriptures. Time is fleeing from us. But through the tribulation, he learned. Tribulation brings power. Listen to the Apostle Paul in the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 12. 2 Corinthians, chapter 12. Then reading with verse 5. Of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. He speaks of the one who caught him up into paradise, and the one who spoke to him unspeakable words that's not lawful for a man to utter. Of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities.
For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. For I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. See, it's in our weakness that we rely upon the strength of Christ, and that is when we become strong. God so designs tribulation that brings to His children His presence and glory. I've referred to this verse, and I want to read it because I didn't get it right either time. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 4. You see, tribulation not only brings power and reveals to us our weaknesses and causes us to have strength because we lean upon Christ. But God has His way of speaking comfort and strength to His own in tribulation that we'd never hear or never have without it. Listen to this. Who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God? You know what I really believe? I believe that until we are comforted of God, we will continue to be in that distress that tribulation brings. And tribulation will bring distress, and you'll be distressed, and you'll be whatever and what all, and it'll all be there. But there's comfort in God and embracing His promises, knowing that He has a purpose for what He's doing, then knowing and rejoicing in the hope of the glory of God, and then knowing He that shall come will come. It's all going to be over after a while. But He'll comfort us that we may be able to comfort others with the same comfort wherewith we are comforted of God. Ministers of God to comfort others. Peter tells us there's joy in tribulation. Many people think there's only joy when things are smooth. But I tell you, things can be smooth, seemingly, and you don't have the fullness of joy. Things pretty good, you know. But you know, with the children of Israel, they became in their worst spiritual condition when things were smooth. I personally believe that this picture of the life of the children of Israel is a good picture of the life of an individual believer. When things were smooth, I mean, it was all right. Except they'd forget about God. They didn't rely on God. They didn't know who the deliverer was. They didn't know who the strength was. Then tribulation, when there was enough of it, they'd cry out to God. They'd rejoice then. Even in tribulation, they would rejoice. Had a joy and a rejoicing they didn't have sometimes when things were smooth. And friends, that can be so for us. And it will be so for us because God will work it in us. And so what we ought to do is surrender all of ourselves to God. Say to God, I'm yours to do with what you will, because we are and you will. There's joy when we're surrendered to it. We acknowledge that, then we ask Him for His grace to help us in our need. And then when we find others in those same distresses, those same troubles, then we can say, hey, I know how you feel, but let me tell you what God did for me. And what He's done for me, He can do for you, and He will. And you can be a comfort to them. Tribulation also brings reward. Bearing of tribulation in the Spirit of Christ is to have rejoicing in His blessed presence. I want to close with the words of H.G. Spafford,
who lost his family in a shipwreck. But he wrote these words, "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well. It is well with my soul." He didn't deny that there were sorrows like the sea billows roll. Whatever my lot, I'd be the last one to tell you there aren't sorrows. You don't get depressed and all of that. But oh, when he brings you and you say, he teaches to say, it is well with my soul.
Well, I'm still believing what I hear. I heard Brother Malcolm Roberts say, some few of you here know Brother Malcolm Roberts. He was pastor of the church, Emmanuel Baptist Church, not too far down Van Dyke Avenue from where the Grace Baptist Church was. And his wife suddenly died. And I heard him say that through his ministry, he would tell the people of his church that had lost their mates, he said, "You have my sympathy." But he said, "I did not know how to sympathize with them till I lost mine." That's what the brother said. I never have forgotten that. Never have forgotten that. Wonderful, wonderful message that God has given to us, a needed message. I believe one that we're going to need even more as we continue to serve the Lord. I believe that. I just thank God. All of us could tell of experiences in our life that was very bitter. And God let us live through them. And then we look back. And we found in that what we never would have found outside of our bitter experiences. So, it doesn't mean that we pray, "Now Lord, let all my children die, let me lose my companion." That's not what he's talking about. Not that at all. But he teaches us how to do and say, how to live, how to rejoice when those times come. Aren't you glad you're saved? Aren't you glad you're here tonight and heard this message? Because it'll help you tomorrow. It may help you 10 years from now. You may remember the message that Brother Phillips preached. God may be preparing you tonight for what's going to happen tomorrow. We never know. But there's one thing we can rest assured, that God will not bring upon us, nor permit anything to come upon us, that He'll not work something good out of it to us. Isn't that glorious? Isn't that glorious? When you lose a loved one, it just moves heaven a little closer to you. And it really does. I have a grandson, Glory. Never did see him. But I believe through the sufferings of Christ that he atoned for his sin. I don't understand all about it, but I read in the Word of God, it's not the will of the Father that one of these little ones perish. And if it's not God's will that they perish, they shall not perish. I still have my wife and all my children. Thank God for it. Others have lost their companions. We're all subject to death. And God help me. And I thought of that while Brother Garrison, God help me, whatever tomorrow brings, that I'll be able not to be bitter against God. Because I'm going to need some help. You are too. Things bad happened, you're going to need some help. Well, praise God. Listen, lost sinner, you don't have any help. You don't have any help. You don't have nobody to help you when your troubles come. But you can have someone to help you, and his name is Jesus. If you'll come to him tonight, he'll help you. I feel like doing this. I don't go by feelings all the way, but I tell you what, God said, you'll find me if you feel after me. If you're here tonight lost, you won't never have a better time to come to Christ. Now we're going to sing an invitation song. A lot of people don't believe in it, and say they can't believe in it. Election and belief.
I serve a living Savior, He's in the world today. I know that He's living, whatever men may say. I see His hand of mercy, I hear His voice of cheer, and just the time I need Him, He's always near. He lives, He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, He lives, salvation to at last. He lives, He lives. me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. Yet me how I know he lives. He lives within my arms.
Before